Tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks very much indeed, Ali, and you're very welcome back to Tip Today. Now, just to remind you that our vet, Mairead, will be with us in the final hour of the programme. So if you have a query or a question about your dog or your cat or your goldfish or your hamster or whatever, do log it with us as soon as you can, and we'll put them all together for Mairead. So that's 083-311-3311. Now, let me remind you about our prizes again today, because we have two for you. We're giving away a 7-foot-tall fresh Christmas tree, and that's courtesy of our good friends at Pine Nurseries in Burncourt, and they are the Christmas tree experts. As well as that, we have a €25 voucher for Moroni's Footwear in Clonmel. And that's today. And tomorrow, then, there will be an opportunity for an upgrade of that voucher prize to a pair of Echo shoes. That's based on your interaction with us by text, joining in the conversations, or indeed coming up with something brand new. Now, Trudy, you're going to have a look at what's coming in on text and what's coming in on calls. And there's been a lot of stuff.
There has been a lot of stuff, and the lines are busy even as I speak to you. Well, firstly, in reference to your interview with Mike, my heart goes out to that man. My mother gave 24-hour care to my dad, who suffered from Alzheimer's, and I think it's scandalous that the lack of money that's provided to carers, the allowance is simply not enough, and I hope that man knows that I and many more empathise with him. Then Paddy got in touch to say, "Hi Fran, my brother and his wife were my mum's carers. It was a very tough job and we didn't realise it until my wife and I took him here for a weekend. It's tough going, but she is our mum." Then Emily White got in touch to say, "Enjoying the show, Fran. God, will the government ever bloody wake up and look after carers?" Tony says, "That man," this is in relation to Mike, "is so right. The politicians don't give a damn about carers or those being cared for. The health ministers know nothing," he told me. He said the TDs will be canvassing shortly, telling us all that they care about us, and all they want, in Tony's view, is to get their feet back under their dull seat. He says he won't be voting anymore. Then another caller got in touch to say, "Fran, please tell that carer Mike that saspubble.ie are offering a free year's monitoring service for eligible people. There's a once-off charge for a special false sensor. It's then included in the monitoring fee after that." Then Mags Barrett got in touch in Burncourt saying, "That man has told his story with great dignity and strength. It must be so lonely for him." Where Dirk Harbert in Ballyporeen says, "Oh my God, the more I hear that man, I don't think that I could do what he does. He needs much more help." John O'Mara then got in touch to say, "Your carer speaking, the first person I've ever heard talking the truth about caring. I'm a carer and I'm in the exact same situation. It's relentless. That man is the first person I've heard mentioning the money the carers gets. It's disgusting, really, how we're treated. Who cares? Nobody. Only a carer can relate to the position that we are in." Another caller who didn't want to leave their name said, "I'm a carer for my son and I know what it's like. It's hard. It's very hard. I get an allowance for my son per month. It's basically nothing. And they're wondering, do they get a Christmas bonus and how much?" Then Sandra said, "It's very sad to listen to those issues about carers. I have a special needs child, and the point you made about not being able to protest is so true. Also, I don't want to put my daughter on display, because that's what it feels like if you protest with them. I just wish the government would wake up." And it says, "My husband has dementia. People just don't ring us anymore, and even his own family don't bother with him. I'm so upset and bitter about it, but thankfully I have a brilliant brother who helps us greatly." Caroline then got in touch to say, "Fran, I could go on, but I won't, because it's heartbreaking. What's going on today is wrong on every level. We will have to take to the streets, Fran. It's as simple as that." But then Maggie Butler got in touch to point out, "It's not always possible for carers to do this when their loved one's condition is medically complex, as in the case of her son." She said, "If herself or Michael aren't with him, there has to be a nurse there with him." Then Caroline Cummins got in touch to say, "I think a lot of people are afraid of a child with special needs. They don't get invited to parties, and it's a big boost to parents when they do get an invite. It's mainly family get together if they're able, but parents have so much responsibility and often have absolutely nobody to turn to." Just a couple of others. when our politicians think that giving themselves 5,000 plus rise is okay and not looking after carers and other health workers, it goes to show where their priorities lie. Shame on them. And just a totally separate issue, but just the lady was anxious to get this out there. It's a night bus that goes from Nina to Knock. It's due to go tonight, but it has been cancelled. The organisers managed to contact most people, but not everybody. So she just wanted people to know that, unfortunately, that bus that goes from Nina to Knock tonight has been cancelled.
All right, thanks for that, Trudy. Keep your text coming into us on 0833 11 33 11. I'm joined on the line now by Deputy Matty McGrath. Good morning to you, Matty.
Morning, Fran. And first of all, I'd like just to compliment Mike. And just, I can't walk in his shoes, neither can any of us. It's just unbelievable. And I read something here recently, you know, where the Jack and Jill nurses go into profoundly sick children up to the age of five, they now increase it to the age of six. The HSC, in their wisdom, have decided there, some just quite recently, that the parent must stay with this very sick child while the nurse is there. It was for respite to allow a person to go to school with another child or go to parent-teacher meeting or go for a hairdo or go for whatever, get some break from the house, do the shopping. And the HSC decided that for health and safety reasons, the parent must stay.
What's behind it, health and safety?
Yes. I mean, that's the explanation they give for it. And the nurses were quite happy. They're skilled nurses, highly trained. I couldn't say enough for them. Jack and Jill, specialised nurses.
Yeah.
A voluntary organisation, you know. And to think that, and the extra year they've added, actually, they have to exit the sick child at 4 to 5 now. But that extra year's funding has been secured from private business, from voluntary, not from the HSE, but it makes it part of the whole scheme. When the same thing could happen with the carers.
While you were waiting online there, I'm sure you heard some of those texts coming into
us.
I
know many of them.
Politicians are being hit very, very hard about this, Matty, and I presume they're including yourself in it. In terms of how carers are forgotten about because they can't get out there and lobby and protest in the same way that other groupings can.
Of course they are. The politicians deserve to be, and I deserve to be hit. We all do. It's a shameful situation. But the sad part about it is, obviously, you know, someone has been on and offered a pendant and armour, they fall, but many of these people are beyond using a pendant and armour, many of them, because they're not able to do it either physically or maybe they're mentally capable of stop pressing it in or whatever. So they're not, you know, it's not what's good. It's a 24/7 hell, and you know, the flippant and the cuts that have been implemented. And I know it personally from Richie, and you mentioned them in the program. They do tremendous work, the carers organization, locally and nationally. But look, they're doing, it's cheap labour. For the HSE.
Yeah, you sent me in some stats there on this, and it's incredible. You were saying that 256,120 hours of care per week just in County Tipperary.
Yes, and that breaks down to 42.1 hours per carer per week.
That's
an average figure, but you know it's 24/7 for that man. It's 24/7 for most of them. And it's like what happens is the carer then, the spouse here, the husband, gets sick themselves because they can't sleep, they can't get any physical recreation or anything else. So they become home. And if they get both end up then, states are just penny wise and pound foolish.
But you also told me that 138 of the carers in that number are under 15.
Yes, which is criminal. They wouldn't be allowed to work. And that is more legislation being passed, you know, which I disagree with, that young people 15, 16 are not allowed to work now. I think it's folly, but they're allowed to be slaves if they want to be in their own home, and it's hidden and not seen. Like, it's classical, it's disgraceful.
Can you give us the inside story on this? Why isn't there an appetite in government to do something really positive for carers?
I grant that to the system, and I keep saying this to you every day, Emmanuel, Brandon, you probably give out to me as well. The system is just broken, and we can't fix it, because there's no will to fix it. And this is across the caring situation. You go across to the hospitals then as well, you know, a lot of good outcomes in hospitals, but the A&Es are just bedlam, and it's become acceptable. I heard this morning on national radio where a housing agency set up a voluntary group, and they're 4 years trying to, they want to build houses in 12 months, and the department won't get up to my side and sign the papers. The system has become, you know, self-embracing and protectionism in the system, and it's someone is going to have to do something to break it, because otherwise we need a revolution. Because this is across take any section across the whole. This morass has set in, and it's so unwieldy to deal with it. The volunteer groups in are just getting so frustrated. And so this man this morning said he was going to just walk away from it. He'd got money put up by private people to match the funding. He was getting the money from the banks, and he had a site from the county council in some part of Dublin, like Swords, I think. And 4 years going after it, and he's just walked away from it.
And still, you look at the figures out today with the MRBI poll. The government is up, what is it, 5 points in terms of satisfaction rate? And, you know.
There's only one opinion poll. We nearly had one, Brendan. Thank God we didn't have it.
The general election. But,
yeah, because these polls, they're all construed, and like, they're all marketing. And that's what's gone on with this country. It's gone into marketing and into these polls and doing things to please the polls, and they're taking their eyes off of that. We're all taking our eyes off the real issues. And, you know, I never listen to polls. If I listened to polls in the last election, I would have pulled out after the first week.
You're welcoming a small bit of good news, which is the minor works grant for the primary schools. There's been some approval of that, Matty.
Yes, and again, this is a thing that schools have. It's a small grant, and it's a minor works grant of 5,500, you know, flat rate per school, plus 1,850 per mainstream pupil, and €74, which is not a lot for special needs people attending a special school. So the grant is worth six, with that, for 50 teacher school, it's worth 6,425, and obviously, you know, for 11,000 for 300 pupil school. It's not big money by any means, but it's the real money, the stick and plaster that keeps the schools, in many cases, keeps the doors hanging on the hinges, keeps the windows repaired.
I was talking to the principal of Rathkeven National School there a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me that because they don't know whether it's coming or not, they can't build it into any budgeting.
I know, because it's scandalous. This should be in the budget at the start of the year. And we have a worse situation. I met Mr. Bruton yesterday. I'll explain to you in a minute. Like, they have to get, depending on the goodwill of a plumber, or maybe of a carpenter, or maybe whatever tradesperson, a local person, to come in and give supplies and whatever. And then they're waiting to be paid. And here we are coming to Christmas, and it's still not paid. So we promise it's going to be paid next week. But we shouldn't be, like, pulling teeth. It should be paid. And the schools are there to teach, and that principal has to run a very big school and does a great job there, as the vast majority of them do. The Board of Management are voluntary running the school, and the Parents' Council are fundraising for this, that and the other. So
well, am I right in thinking, Matthew, that that's the decision for this year, but we don't know again about next year, is that it?
I had heard then that he, in reply to an odd question yesterday, that he had gave some alarming reply. So I actually went and met him, and he said the problem, one of the problems is, he said, yes, next year the scheme will be there, but he won't be able to pay till 2019. Which we're paying it this year now, 17 scheme we're paying it in Christmas week, literally. And next year, he's saying he won't even be able to pay it in budget in that budgetary year. He has to get money out of the next year. So there's a crisis coming down the road with this grant scheme. And it's the most of it, I said, what's wrong? He said most of it is down to school population explosion. And we have to deal with that as well. And that's a problem with the housing crisis as well. And nobody's looking at that or talking about that. You know, we want to have open borders. And I'm not being racist here. I'm just saying that we have a big influx of people from abroad, and they have to be housed as well. So, and school and school places. So this is alarming now, because if this grant is going to be not secure, and it's not, from what he told me, he definitely won't be able to pay it next year out of the 18 budget, which we voted in the budget only recently. And it'll go into the year after. So if that continues, so you over the scheme will just evaporate. And as I said, it's a vital scheme, and many principals have been on to me, and they shouldn't have to be on to me. They have enough to do to deal with the parents and the children. And
that's for sure. Listen, can I ask you finally, will you explain something to me, which is why we haven't received roads funding under that new improvement scheme? Because our roads are in tatters, but we're one of the counties that won't get an extra penny.
This is an excellent scheme. I fought for it back in the early 90s, and it worked well. We never got our fair share of it in Tipperary, because western counties were always sort of Mayo and Donegal and Kerry, and that we had more of these tertiary roads. They're not actually roads. They're actually laneways into a number of houses or into a house, you know, and they were never tarred. And under this scheme, they'll be strengthened, drained and strengthened, and tarred twice, and left it back to your own devices. Then that's a good scheme, because the people will respect them and look after them. We got funding this year, and I have an issue with the funding. And I welcome it. It's leader funding, because when Minister Ring announced the first 10 million, I happened to be sitting down with Shane Ross, and I said this, thanks for the money. Stop my money, of course I had to, he said. So it was actually money from the leader programme, which should be going into projects in Castle, in Nene, and Carrick and Shure, and Clonmel, and all the villages around Tipperary. Projects they've gone in by volunteers again. Bob hasn't been played out for 3 years as a leader. And then he decided to top it up here again. And about 3-4 weeks ago, he sent out calls to all the county councils for requests. Now, I will admit, on investigation, the timescale was tight because he had to be spent by the end of November. But there's creative ways of doing that. Donegal got 2.5 million. Kerry got 360,000. Didn't get a penny because we didn't apply for a penny.
We didn't apply for it, or we didn't apply in time, was it?
We didn't apply for it. We told him. Now, I
would not. Why would we not have applied for this?
Because we wouldn't have the difficulty in getting spent before the end of November. But other counties like Donegal get 2 million. How are they going to spend it? I mean, they're not going to spend it, obviously. It'll be spent and the materials will be purchased and everything else. There'll be creative accounting done. And I'm not knowing that. But, I mean, we can't. It's all accounted with the Auditor General later on, and the money has to be, accounted for. I'm not saying that, but we didn't apply for this. Simple as that. And, you know, I was with Knockdom, as I say, who it was, last Wednesday night week at a late meeting, and he told me his own county manager rang him up, give out to him, how the hell are we going to spend this money? Okay, so get the application in, you spend it somewhere. So we didn't apply for money to Bray County Council, didn't apply for money in this. And I have dozens of those.
There's lots of communities around the county that could come up with ways of spending the money.
I know, but we didn't apply for it. That is the facts. And I can't speak for the other three counties. I assume it's the same. If they didn't get any, four counties didn't get money. And if they applied, they would have got money. Now, Borrata were not getting a fair share either, and that's historic in the scheme. Yeah. But I lobbied hard at the Programme for Government all those days to have this scheme reopened. I was delighted to get it reopened because it's the only chance for a person who builds their own house and holds their own farm and try and get a half-decent road, to serve their business or their home or whatever. So it's money that cannot be spent now on streets of Clonmel or can be spent on the roads budget in general. It's a separate fund. But I am concerned that the leader fund is being attacked in this way because that it was a great scheme, bottoms up, for businesses and for communities. And some of the leader funding was used in the past in slower areas to put pedestrian crossing and special lights at schools, and I accept that, no problem. But to have the whole this amount of funding, a lot of it going in now, there's about 15 million and got together from leader funding. Otherwise, we'd have lost it to Europe, I suppose. But it's not good enough, because I know people who propose them with leader companies with 3 years, and they're waiting for, and they put huge time and money and energy and expense into putting those community projects in, some private projects in, and waiting to get funding, and the funding has been diverted off in a different track altogether.
All right, Matty.
I want to say one word to about Dennis, my former colleague, and Dennis Landy, if you don't mind.
Sure, of course.
An excellent, outstanding, public servant, and his wife Nancy himself. I became very friendly with him over the years. We served on the council together and here in the Senate, in the Oireachtas, and I know he's fighting with a while to try and recover to good enough to come back, and he's a very excellent, staff member here as well, who was a former councillor in Waterford, Ger Bannon. And I missed about him around here because Dennis was always very wise, very cool and calm, and a very astute politician. So I want to wish him the best in the future and his young son as well, and hopefully everything will work out for him.
Money, money, money. Brought to you by the Money Doctor, John Lowe, personal finance practitioner. MoneyDoctor.ie.
And John joins me online. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Fran. What a lovely morning. I hope it's nice down there at the moment.
You see, they don't let me out. Once I get in here at 7 o'clock, that's it. That's it. The door is locked, so I have no idea. So hopefully it's lovely out there.
You've no windows, Fran. Oh, my God.
Poor old me and all of that. You've got the five best financial one-liners for Christmas, John.
Yeah, absolutely. These are, something that you can put to store away in your mind and then think about it, even over the next year. The very first one is you need a budget and you need to budget. And this is, a lot of people don't they look at Christmas and they just stagger through it and hope everything's going to work out. They don't think of the four areas where you're going to be spending money. Presents to your family, your loved ones, then the additional costs like your Christmas tree, your various bits and pieces, the holly and all those kind of things. Then you've got food and drink. You'd swear there's going to be a famine. And then the final thing is the entertainment. You know you're going to go out there, and you're going to go to a panto, or you're going to go to cinema, or you're going to do something. So you could tot up all that money and say, okay, it's going to cost me 800 euros, 1,000, whatever it is. Where are you getting it from? Have you got it? Great if you have, if you've saved it in the last year. But if you haven't, you should keep to that budget for the Christmas. And then if you're going to say, okay, well, I'll borrow 800 from the local credit union, I won't go to a moneylender, I will use my credit card and I'll, I'll pay it over the next 6 months. I'll transfer the balance to one of the four credit card providers that will give you 0% for the first 6 months. That might be a great idea. Or I might just, get a loan from one of the parents or keep me going for 3 months, whatever. But the main thing is you got to plan. And then when it comes to January, that's when you really do the big work, when you plan for the year and what is going to happen in your year. Because you might have new children, you might have a new job, you might be have to change your car. All sorts of things will happen. So that's the first kind of best financial one-liner of all time. Secondly is never spend on impulse.
I mean, all do it, John.
Well, you go to a shop, Fran, and you haven't got a list, which is the first mistake you've made. and then you might be in a good humor as well. Emotional kind of situations can also affect your spending. So and therefore you shouldn't really spend on impulse. Stop it. You know, make out that list. I mean, if Santa's good enough to check it twice, you can do the same. The third thing then is your financial life rests on the gap between your income and expenses. And that's pretty obvious because, you've got expenditure, you've got your TV license, you've got all the things, your electricity, cars, all those kind of things. And then you've got finite income, whatever income is coming into your household. So if you have that gap, which is, the surplus, hopefully in most cases, that has got to look after everything, including if you have children, third level costs, 42,000 from start to finish. So those are the kind of things that you've got to, start thinking about. Every euro should have a purpose is number four. And, if you don't have that purpose for your money, it's up for grabs. And God knows where you'll end up spending it. So it's really important, therefore, to check that list, not just your grocery list, and then ensure your money is going to the right place.
God, I'm learning so much from this, and I'm just really realizing now that my budgetary ability is in tatters completely. Because you're right about the impulse buying. Do you know what happens to me where that is concerned, John? If I go to the ATM and I find that I have a few bob more than they thought I had, I'm going to go and blow it. I know I am.
Well, the ideal thing there, Fran, is to take it out and put it into a savings account. That would be the actual ideal thing. And put out that surplus instead of spending it. Because you're going to... I mean, if you even think about next year, you've got immediate family, like wives, children, parents. So you're going to buy birthday presents. Yeah. You're going to have anniversaries. You're going to have a little mini holiday somewhere if you can't afford a big holiday. And you could then have Christmas, even Christmas year. So you could tot up all that cost and know that that's what you're going to spend no matter what happens. And you might come to 1,200 euros. It could be 2,400 euros. So you put away 200 euros from January. Now you can forget about all those costs because you've actually now, conditioned yourself to start saving first.
Do you know what's so sensible? Even though what put the fear of God into me there was in the first tip where you were talking about the possibility of kids coming back to you in later life and looking for money to get them through for 3 months. I thought I'd be finished.
You know what that's called, Fran? It's called the boomerang effect. they keep coming back, and even when they've left and they're maybe in their early 30s, they can come back after that. So I know several families where, the relationship didn't work out and the daughter or the son decided to come back and live with the parents.
John, you're killing me here. You know that you are. Did you give us the fifth tip?
The fifth one is bet big when the odds are in your favor. Well, this is about, we in the late last week, you're talking about bitcoins. And so many people have come up to me and say, I think it's a good idea. I mean, people who bought in October, they bought for 5,000 and it's now worth 12,000. Do you think those people are going to sell, Fran? Not in their Nelly. They're going to hold on until it crashes. That's what's going to happen.
It's up to 14,000, I think.
It's 14,000 now, at this stage. But, it's a mug's game. That's a complete mug's game. If you have money to spare that you can afford to lose, go ahead.
Right. Because is it fair to say that's not regulated in any way?
It's not regulated at all. And it's like a bad Ponzi scheme in some respects. There's nothing really behind it. There used to be a time when you'd have a £5 English note and on it said, I promise to pay the bearer on demand £5. And what was behind that fiver was gold bullion in the vaults of the Bank of England. That's all gone. But I will say this, that the best return of any asset class is quite easily the stock market. And we are now currently in the 26th bull market, which is a rising market, and there are 25 bear markets. So that means the next one, Fran, is a bear. Now, the current bull is the second longest of all time, and it's in its ninth year. And the longest was 4 years longer, which was 87 to 2000. And that was only halted by that dot-com bubble burst. Mm. So to become a bear, the bull has to fall by 20%. That's not likely to happen anytime soon because of these very, very low interest rates. So, I mean, as I said, bet big when the odds are in your favor. Putting it on something like Bitcoin would be a complete gamble in my view. Actually, the chief executive of Goldman Sachs, he actually came out there recently and he said that Bitcoins are a vehicle for fraudsters.
Yeah, and just for people who might be too, is virtual money, isn't it? Is that
it's cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
It's cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
it's, and there's other currencies that they're also talking about as well. It is virtual money. And you know, it is getting more and more traction as each month goes by. That's not to say that it's going to take over, for instance. I firmly believe in 5 years' time, Fran, that you'll have no cash, you'll have no credit cards, you'll have no debit cards. And what you'll have is your phone. And that's it.
In 5 years' time?
Yeah.
Wow.
In 5 years' time, you ask me that question, okay?
it's a deal. Would you answer a question, for an interesting one, in fact, from a listener who says that with all the trials and tribulations of the post offices, is it safe to put your money into post offices now?
I can certainly answer that question. It is 100% safe, absolutely 100% safe, simply because it is guaranteed by the government.
Right.
Anything that you put into the post office, because all the money that you put in, which includes, you know, the solidarity bonds, the post office savings accounts, even your little passbook, there's an entity called the National Treasury Management Agency. It's a government agency which looks after all government money. It includes all the post office money. So it's backed by the government. It cannot fail. It cannot fail because it is a government. And that's why so much money, people are putting money into prize bonds, for instance, where there's no income, absolutely no income at it. And the only thing you can hope for is the win. But it's a bit like going, Fran, into a bookie and putting your money on a horse, knowing that you're getting your stake back. You might also get the win.
It's interesting, isn't it? All right. I know next time round we might talk about the cost of having a baby, if that would be possible, John.
Absolutely,
just to frighten even more people.
In the new year, I mean, that's what a lot of families are thinking about. Maybe we'll have a child. There is a financial element.
Whoops. All right. Yeah. And I can't wait to hear what that is. Listen, look after yourself, John. It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. That is our Money Doc.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
And you're very welcome back to TIP today, 1-800-938-007. And Trudy's looking after the phones today. By the way, that's a free phone number. It won't cost you a cent. 083-311-3311 for your text. And we have lots and lots of texts, and we will get back to those very soon, we promise. But right now, sporting legend Mihola Muraherty has sent to MC a very special sports panel tomorrow evening as part of Enterprise Town coming to Care. And this is sponsored by Bank of Ireland. It's a fantastic lineup for that. And to talk to me about what's happening tomorrow evening, I'm glad to be joined in the studio by Rini Duggan of Bank of Ireland, who is a community leader indeed with Bank of Ireland. And Jared Leeson is with us from Duella Ploughing, PRO, in fact, of Duella Ploughing. You're both very welcome. Thanks for joining us. Rini, can I go to you first of all? It's going to be a fantastic event from what I'm reading. Tell me about the lineup and what's happening.
Absolutely, Fran. We have a fantastic lineup. Just for us to give the viewers an idea of what Enterprise Town is all about. Enterprise plays a very important part in the Bank of Ireland story. As Ireland's largest lender, Bank of Ireland provides more than 50% of new lending to Ireland's business sector. So the Enterprise Town is an initiative designed as a community event. It's very much community. It's all around business, SMEs, our schools, sports, social and charitable organisations, bringing the whole lot together under one roof and showcasing everything that's good about Care. And it's a huge opportunity for all the people there to network, grow their business and grow their,
very good,
their organisations.
One of the highlights certainly will be that sports panel that I referred to. What's the makeup of that panel, really?
The makeup of that panel, we're very privileged to have Micheál O'Meara Hertig.
It's great.
As our special guest, and he and the sports panel, we have John Delaney. John is the chief executive of the FAI, and we have Aidan O'Brien, well known to all, to everybody, Ballydoyle Racing and champion trainer. We have Ashley McCarthy, intermediate footballer of the year, Declan Brown, Tipperary's first football all-star, and John Lahey, former Tipperary hurler. So we have a right mix there, Fran.
Very good indeed. Now, everybody's welcome along to this, is that right, Brittany?
Everybody's welcome to this event. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing, this event is free to attend, it's free to exhibit. We're very aware of cost, and it's open to customers, non-customers, to everybody. So everybody is welcome, and we'd love to see a huge crowd.
I presume it's happening in Care House Hotel.
It's in Care House Hotel, and it starts at 5 o'clock, and we'll wrap up around 8 o'clock. To be ready for the tractor run that will come into Care, and then the Christmas lights will be turned on in Care. And just as well, in addition to that, we will have 60 plus exhibitors, business people in Care, clubs, communities as well. And we'll have free face painting for the children and all that. So there's something in this event for everybody.
Very good indeed. Now, as I say, Ger is with us as well, Ger Gleeson, who is PRO of Dwella Ploughing. You're looking after the tractor end of things here. It's a decorated tractor run, isn't it?
It is indeed. It's illuminated tractors, and we kind of want to push that everybody, that no matter what tractor you bring or car or truck, that everybody does make some form of an effort to put some form of a Christmas light on their tractor. It makes no difference. We don't expect everybody to go mad decorating their tractors, but we want something.
Very good indeed. Now, the notion behind that is it's a bit of a fundraiser as well, isn't it?
It is indeed.
For something very special.
It is indeed, Fran. It's a fundraiser for Evan Hickey. Obviously, most people around Care and Clonmel would know the young man. I think he's a very worthy cause to give money to, and what we went to a meeting, and basically his grandfather was the treasurer of Paulmacca Ploughing Club. So we thought it was a worthy cause that we could raise money for his, obviously, grandchild, Evan Hickey. So we decided that this was the route we were going to take, and we'd, luckily enough, it has lined up
with the enterprise.
With the enterprise night and turning on the lights, obviously, in Care.
Which is fantastic. How would you actually fundraise, though? Is it a donation?
It is basically a donation basis. We're bucket collecting on the night, so obviously the big crowd will help. And for anybody who's entering a tractor, it's €20 or more if they want whatever their own donation be.
All right. We've been covering the enterprise occasion as well in Nina, Reaney, and it was a huge success up there. So I presume you're hoping for the same.
Absolutely. Nina has been a fantastic, and we had one in Cashel last weekend. Mm-hmm. Also a huge, huge success. I suppose just in terms of we would have run 100 of those events last year, and because of the success and the super feedback we've got, we've extended that to 120 events this year.
Right.
So we're really, really looking forward to having a big, big turnout in Care.
Is there still room if people want to get involved at this point?
We still have a few spaces left.
Okay.
Obviously, we hate to turn away anybody, but yeah, I'd say very limited space at this time. But please contact us. They can contact myself, mm-hmm, on my mobile, 086-040-2264. Are one of my colleagues in Care branch.
All right, or if they contact us here, we can put them in touch with you where that is a concern. Through the enterprise events, are you seeing a bit of growth out there? Are you seeing a bit more positivity?
No, absolutely. And there are some great news stories from those enterprise events, because nowadays a lot of businesses operate from home. And sometimes there's a business in a town that people are not aware of.
Mm.
And people meet up with other business people that do business together, and they're really proving to be hugely beneficial. And definitely there's business, it is creating a buzz and that enterprise spirit around.
Very good indeed. So it's kicking off at what time tomorrow?
5 o'clock.
Five o'clock. At Care House
at
Hotel.
Care House.
And then, of course, you have the tractor run at 8:30, Jerry, isn't that right?
We'll be actually arriving into Care at 8 o'clock.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Okay.
And passing through, and basically the lights, I think, are being turned on just when we are leaving.
All right. And I know that the Collins Barracks Army Band will be in the church at 7:30 as well. And then on Saturday in Kerr, Santa's Grotto will be live between 2 and 5. So there you go. Was there something else really that
you wanted just to say? A few other pieces. Just the Kerr Cultus, the local group. Mm-hmm. They're going to kick off the Enterprise Town. There'll be an opening welcome by Donna Cafahi. And Tipperary Ladies Footballers will cut the ribbon. Barry O'Donovan, ABP Group Care, will be doing an article on scaling your business. And our young entrepreneurs from Care Girls National School will be presented prizes by Micheál Mura Hurtig. We'll also have the Care music from the Care Men's Shed. So there's something in this event for everybody.
All right, so a mixture of business and entertainment and crack exactly. And all of that. No problem, Jerry, yeah.
And just on one more point, friend, we're actually, our registration is starting in New Inn at 5:30 and we're leaving New Inn at 7:00. So anybody that is obviously participating, be in New Inn before 7:00 and obviously everybody is more than welcome
right.
to come along.
And you don't have to register ahead of time. If you just turn up in New Inn, it's fine.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. All you need be is there a quarter of an hour beforehand and we'll move off. And there is also a prize for the best illuminated tractor, which will be judged in New Inn, and obviously when we're in the square in Kerr, that's when the prize will be announced and given out.
Very good. Was it a good year for Duella Ploughing, by the way?
Very good year. Yeah. Very good year, yeah. We had a very successful thrashing festival now, and we raised a lot of money and gave away 15,000 this year to charities.
Well, nice one indeed. Well done to you. All right. Rini Duggan of Bank of Ireland and Gerard Leeson of Duella Ploughing. Thanks very much indeed, and have a great time tomorrow.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
My old friend Joe Leahy asked me to point out to you that the Franciscan Friars in Clonmel are inviting you to a concert of gratitude. It's under the banner of Canticle of Creation. It's a free concert, and the music is composed by Vincent Kennedy. It's performed by Vincent and Marina Kennedy on harp and vocals. It's happening on Thursday the 14th of December, which is next Thursday at 7 p.m. in the Franciscan Friary in Clonmel. Absolutely free, and everybody is welcome along to that. Now, speaking of events, I was in Knockinrolly in Tipperary Town last Monday night, and I was talking to my good friend Mary Ronan, who is a composer and a fantastic musician as well, and she was telling me about a very special concert that's happening in Bantry on this coming Sunday night.
Rock and Roll is coming to Bantry again. A couple of months ago, back in July, the Circle of Friends choir did a show called The Light of My Life, and I invited these colleagues of mine, artists and musicians from all around the country, to come and support that event because it was their first performance. But it was such a great night. It's all it's rock and roll, it's jukebox music, it's the songs we all grew up with, well, though us of a certain vintage. But we performed it there, some of the material from that, and at that concert everybody asked if we'd come back and do a full show, so we said we would as soon as we could, and we're doing a bit of a tour around the country at the moment, so we decided to cross country to Tipperary and do a show in the Temple Nairy Culture Centre. That's a little, it was a little church
in Bantry.
In Bantry, yeah. And we're playing, we're the Ritz Brothers. I'm a Ritz brother too, but we're playing there on Sunday night, 7:00. Tickets will be available at the door. It's a very small venue, so come early. But the concert starts at 7:00, and it takes about an hour and a half.
Very good. So rock and roll comes to Bantry.
Supertramp, ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, everything.
Oh, you're talking my talk now. Listen, we're all looking forward to that, so well done. So on the night, 7:00, Sunday night in Bantry.
That's right.
All right, thanks, Mary.
And that sounds like a great concert indeed. Rock and roll coming to Bantry. Trudy, you're going to have a look at what's in on text for us.
Yeah, we have further reaction to our pieces with the carers this morning. First one, further to the interview with George Hogg, there's a fundraiser concert in aid of Friends of Bridgewater House, which George is the chairperson, and it's in Ferry House Church on December 21st at 8:00. A listener in Roscrea got in touch to say, I care for my mother and I'm waiting for a home help to help me out, and they have no help at the moment, and they're working full time around the clock. Dave got in touch to say, thanks Fran for the airtime for carers. It's a national shame. Why can't the government wake up and do the right thing and give us the supports that we need? A caller in Tiptown wants to know if any of the listeners know how long it takes to find out if a child is entitled to technology application forms. It's gone in for a good few weeks. Entitled to technology. And the application form has gone in a good few weeks now for a child with severe dyslexia. Hi, Fran and crew. Could you help clarify? This comes in from our good friend Don. Would I be correct in saying that in the last budget, the cost of prescription for those with a medical card was reduced by €2 per item? It was. Mm-hmm. I collected my elderly neighbour's prescription each month. She's 12 items on each one, and it cost me personally €30, as I don't have the heart to tell her how much she actually owes me on it. They still charge €2.50 per item, says Don.
Oh, that's very interesting.
That shouldn't be happening. No. Sonia Evans and Glenn Connor then got in touch, and she wanted to highlight the amazing work of community nurses. And she was speaking quite extensively about her father, who only passed away a number of months ago. Sonia and her husband were carers to her dad, and in the last 2 years, he effectively lost the use of his legs and was bedbound. And she said the community nurses were just absolutely incredible for the resources that they had. She also had a nice touch there. And the night he passed away, she turned him in his bed. She often obviously would turn him over. And Tony Brooke was on the radio, and he kind of looked towards the radio, waved a bit, and he went into his deep sleep. So that was nice. But she spoke so lovingly about him, and she spoke so well about the community nurses and how incredible they really were, that they were a lifesaver. And indeed, her husband, she had huge praise for him. Trish and Nina got in touch. She said it was heartbreaking listening to her cousin, Michael. Fran, I was a carer and had to give it up due to bad health. My family look after me. Nobody knows until it happens. I was very sad, and the government don't give a damn about me or any of the rest of us.
And that seems to be the general thing we're getting today, is that politicians and governments don't care.
Yeah, pretty much. And there's much more besides.